How many times have our patients returned to our office and are just stuck in the cycle of chronic inflammation? We throw everything we have at them, nothing changes, and even our dentists are frustrated. Rather than throwing our hands up and shrugging, we need to be turning to PerioTrace by PerioProtect. I have seen the evidence firsthand and have helped so many hygienists find this resource because it really works, which is why there are so many products on the market now trying to imitate them. The results are speaking for themselves, but rather than going with an unproven product, stick with the only periodontal medicine delivery system cleared by the FDA. And not only that, but their support team is seriously among the best I've ever encountered, from the education to implementation to support when there's the inevitable bumps on the road. They are there for you. If you want to get in contact with them to learn more about how you can treat your patients better, head over to perioprotect.com/RDH. And on that site, at the bottom is a contact form that you can fill out or simply email them directly to ask for help. This is one thing I truly believe should be in every dental practice. perioprotect.com/RDH to stop the cycle of chronic inflammation.
The CDC and other organizations, they've never studied the effectiveness of what we do in a real-time, real everyday situation where staff are stressed, have taxing demands on their time, and where people maybe don't do as good a job of wiping things down as they think. And the dentist just assumes that this stuff works and that, you know, everything's clean and we're all hunky-dory, but we don't have proof.
I can swab any surface or handpiece or anything in a dental clinic and instantly pick up microbial activity and isolate the strain. I can also swab anywhere in a dental office, pick up any viral activity or bacteria going within the water lines. It spits out all of those count levels on ATP, microbial, viral, and CFU count levels within one water lines within about 30 seconds. Since we launched last year, 100% of our offices after the first 90 day of applications have had ATP count levels, food source for bacteria, at their lowest levels, and absolutely zero microbial viral activity in them.
Yeah, this is a tale.
A tale, oh yeah. A tale of two hygienists.
So there might be only one, bringing the best of dental knowledge, and we do it all with ease. We cover oral health and screening, and preventing gum disease. We're gonna do a lot of learning, and have a little bit of fun working at the dentist. A tale of two hygienists.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of A Tale of Two Hygienists podcast, an Endeavor Business Media production. I'm your host, Andrew Johnston, and thank you so very freaking much for making us a part of your day. Okay, to start this out, how do I say the thing I want to say without offending so many people? I think that this episode in particular is going to be the most talked about episode of the entire year. There, I've said it. It's not any shade to anyone that has come on before this episode, and it's definitely not for future guests, any shade thrown their way, but today I'm joined by the tooth cop himself, Dwayne Tinker, aka Tink, and Paul Seresig, and they tell us about two really important concepts regarding infection control. And I know that since the COVID pandemic thing, everyone is so tired of infection control. However, this is something you're going to want to listen to. There is a new product out there, everyone. It's a coating, and it's absolutely going to change the way that we will be practicing if it ends up being as good as everyone says. Now, this is where Tink comes in. Is because I do question a lot of these new breakthrough technologies, especially if they haven't really been tested very often or very much. But Tink specializes in this. And so where he comes into the partnership is that he goes behind this new coating that promises to do this infection control procedure, and he's testing it. And this is so incredible. So I really can't wait for you guys to listen to it. I know that it's going to be probably talked about and a little bit controversial. And after it's done, I would love to hear your feedback. If you're like, this is just a bunch of garbage. I've been practicing for so many years. This is yet another thing that I'm not going to care about. Or if you're excited about this, let me know. Send me an email, andrew@atale2hygienist.com. You can also comment on our social media. Next week, we have another great show. And it's actually probably the next several shows are just absolutely amazing. So maybe I'll just tell you what I have lined up over the next several weeks. So we're working on scheduling still. I think we have it locked in, but it's going to be Tooth Life Irene is going to come on the show for the first time. It's been a really long time since she's been on. I think since she launched her podcast, this will be the first time that she's come back. I saw her speak at the Voices of Dentistry, and this is why I wanted her to come back, is because you get to know people and then you have a perception of them, and then you listen to them talk or you see them in a different, speaking a different way. And I think that she has come to some really interesting observations about herself. And I would love to talk a little bit more about that, but also just talking about what it is to own a practice. And she did some restorative courses and I think certifications. And so I kind of want to dive into that and we'll go from there. We're also working on another episode on sleep dentistry because that is always a hot topic. There's a nurse that I've been talking to kind of back and forth via email. I've been reading her book. The book's called Why is America So Sick? So we will be getting her on the show. And then at Chicago Midwinter, we're going to circle back. We're going to do another episode on pediatrics. We have one scheduled with Dr. Ronnie Brown. You probably remember her from the episode last year where she talked about meth. And there's just so many really good ones that I'm really excited about. But as always, just because I'm excited about it doesn't mean that you're going to be excited about it. So let me know. Again, Andrew at A Tale of Two Hygienists, if you have any suggestions on people or topics that you really want me to cover that needs to happen like right now, let me know. I am going to be recording at Chicago Midwinter. And so hopefully I'll have enough content based on those interviews to last us through June or July. But I can definitely put your stuff in between all of that if you just let me know. So one last thing, we do have another review. Thank you, by the way, so much for everyone that always does all the reviews. Keep them coming. The thing about this review, and I might be a little bit wrong on this, but I feel like I've read it in several different places about podcast reviews, is that this listener is from Canada. And so from what I understand, if you're an American citizen and you're located in the U.S., the Apple Podcast doesn't show you reviews from other countries. And so we have the subscription to a software that tells us what all the reviews are. And so this is really the only reason why I saw this one. But if you are Canadian and you're listening to this, this is one of your fellow Canadians giving a review, but also feel free to give a review because I can still see them and I really appreciate them. Okay, so this review was written on February 6th, 2023, titled Inspired in Canada. Mama Bear 11 writes, oh, and she gave a 5-star rating. She writes, longtime listener, first time reviewer. What prompted me to write now? Well, I just want to say, Andrew, I loved and miss, those are like big capitals, loved and miss the half hour intro rambles of yesteryear on the podcast. And then in parentheses, don't worry, I still like it now too. I stumbled upon ATOTH at a time when I was finding my feet as a new graduate, working in a fairly toxic work environment. You two were the coworkers I wish I had, and I spent each morning with you on my drive to work. When I arrived in the mornings, I was excited and energized despite the hard day I had ahead of me. You two, along with your guests, of course, inspired more than one of my conversations with patients. Thank you. Mama Bear 11, thank you so much. That's awesome. And that's kind of the point, right? We need to be energized. We need to love our job. And so sometimes it's very, very, very hard to want to go into work. I've had that. I mean, the funny thing is, I think I've had it at all of my places of work before I left them. You just kind of feel run down and you feel like this is, you know, not the place for you, that your values and your, you know, ideation or whatever of what taking care of a patient means is not aligned. And so we're right there with you. But hopefully, you know, the guests can get you through those tough times until you find that next step that you're looking for. As a kind of a side note, and this is kind of a shameless plug to piggyback on top of someone that wrote such nice comments about us. But, you know, we write some really interesting newsletters. And one of the things that we're trying to do the last couple of months, last few months, is it's called In the News. And we're trying to give you things that you can talk about with your patients that maybe are not the same thing that you hear all the time in the dental forums. Sometimes it's just simply, hey, this is a new science that came out, or hey, this is a new trend that you're seeing, or maybe it's about finances, or maybe it's about, you know, one I wrote several months ago was about cryptocurrency. It's hard right now to go through life without reading about, you know, artificial intelligence and ChatGPT. And so we write about that kind of stuff also, so that when your patients come in, you do have something other than dentistry to talk about. Now, as a kind of a side note to a side note, of course, we do need to be focusing on, you know, prevention and on oral health care. That's the name of the game. However, you're going to have those patients that just aren't there for that. And so I still want you to be able to connect with them. But thank you again, Mama Bear 11 from Canada. Fantastic review. I really, really appreciate it. If you wanted to write a review, make sure you head over to your podcast app, find the review button, and go ahead and send that in. I think that's it for me for this week. Thank you again so much for listening. Have a great week and enjoy this episode with Tink and Paul.
A Tale of Two Hygienists.
Welcome everybody to the interview portion of A Tale of Two Hygienists podcast. I'm very excited. We're welcoming some guests. Tink, welcome back to the show, man.
Glad to be here.
I'm so excited that you're here. I saw you come into, Voice of Dentistry here in Scottsdale. You guys will definitely be hearing some background noise, so I apologize about that. But when I saw you walk through, I'm like, okay,
it's on, man.
So welcome back. And we have your new business partner.
Yep.
And we have Paul. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Let's, Tink, for new listeners and people that maybe they couldn't have forgotten about you, but maybe they did. Can we have another refresher introduction?
Yeah, so my name is Dwayne Tinker. People call me Tink. People also know me as the Tooth Cop. I run a company called Dental Compliance Specialist. I do a lot of office inspections, compliance training, and record auditing, team training. And I'm a former cop. I used to investigate naughty dentists. I crossed over to the dark side, if you will. And now I show people how to stay out of trouble. And try to make it entertaining at the same time.
You do a great job of that, for sure. By the way, the conference that we went to last year.
Oh, which one?
Yours.
Boot camp. Yeah, I forgot about that.
That was the most amazing
thing. That's coming up later this year, isn't it?
November.
Yeah.
It's going to be outside Dallas again.
Yep.
Perfect.
Probably same place. So come check out the podcast, Talking with the Tooth Cop, and stay connected with us, and you'll get the notifications as we announce the dates. It'll be early November. And DFW here again.
Awesome. I'll put the link in the show notes later on. Paul, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for having us on here. Paul Soresig. I'm the managing partner at a company called MCS Infection Control Solutions out of Dallas, Texas. We're a high-tech company that has put some new, pretty cutting-edge technologies out there in the long-term and infection control space. We have kind of a motto for the company. It's called, Are You Tired of Wiping? And the objective behind that is to, you know, introduce technology in a space that hasn't had a lot of technology brought into it over the last 25 years, which is the infection control space. Mm-hmm. And the result of the technology, we saw, you know, a big change in dental, and been in dental high tech for 22 years and coupled through some startup companies, a couple companies I worked for. And one thing that I saw that just amazed me is the impact COVID had just on dentists as a whole. And it really put the industry into kind of a reactive stage where they didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to solve a problem like that. And for us, being in the technology space, it presented an opportunity to go in there and bring some technology in that has not been introduced to the infection control space for a long period of time.
But so, you know, yeah, that necessity is the whatever of innovation.
It is. You know, it is take a step back, reflect, right?
Yeah.
And then move forward based upon the status quo. And that's what we tried to do when COVID hit the dental industry like it did.
So, I definitely want to get into like the infection control process a little bit more here in a few minutes, but I'm a very interested person about development of technology and you know, what was already kind of in existence and how could you piggyback? Like, as you see this problem, how do you formulate the solution?
Yeah, it was interesting. MCS has another division underneath its umbrella, which is the durable medical equipment side of the business. We actually have a showroom. I have service technicians that sell and put in equipment into the medical hospitals, nursing homes, things like that. And actually, if you remember when COVID hit, it really hit the nursing home industry hard.
Oh, yeah.
Really hit it hard. A lot of publicity out there, a lot of news out there regarding that. And we had a very small piece of our business at that point in time that had a very short-term infection control solution for equipment that we delivered into these hospitals to make sure it was sterile and clean by the time we left. Mm. And for some odd reason, when the nursing home industry got hit hard, they looked at us as experts in the industry as it pertains to infection control protocols. Mm. They called us up and said, hey, we need some long-term solutions to make the loved ones that people are putting their loved ones into these nursing homes. How can we make them feel comfortable that what we're doing is the best out there? And I need data and proof of that.
Absolutely.
So that put kind of a whole think tank in process where we brought on a whole clinical team. Dwayne came on board on the compliancy side, and we began to work with three different companies out there that had some really cutting-edge technologies in the long-term infection control space, explained our dilemma that we were trying and what we were trying to achieve in the dental and medical fields, worked through a process with those companies over about a year and a half, got FDA and EPA approval here back in March of this year, and probably have the most important part of it, which is Dwayne's company, and put that stamp of approval from a compliancy perspective on top of everything.
And so, Dwayne, from yours, or Tink, from this part of it, it's weird calling him Dwayne, by the way. But
everyone calls me out too.
So how did you come into this, and what were you evaluating to make sure it was legit?
Well, it's interesting to me to kind of back up kind of pre-COVID. You know, I've always been a compliance nerd. I've always been fascinated with infection control and breaking the status quo. You know, why do we do what we do? Mm-hmm. And does it matter? Does it make a difference? What parts of that, if we miss, are we still okay? Mm-hmm. So I've never considered myself a scientist, but so I started looking around to see what tools were available that I could use to kind of answer some questions that I wasn't sure that I had. Really, the simple question is why, what, and why? Mm-hmm. So I stumbled upon ATP testing as something they use in the food service to test for cleanliness as in food preparation factories and things where they make our food for quality control purposes. And I thought, man, I wonder if I can leverage that technology to study our instrument cleaning processes, the effectiveness of cleaning the operatory, mm-hmm. and things like that. Then the results that I got from that were amazing. So fast forward to last year, through a client of mine, they introduced me to Paul, explained what he was doing. I looked at his data and compared that with my own, and we're like in sync. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is a no-brainer. And here Paul put together a solution that a lot of dental offices struggle with, is our staff have so many responsibilities, so many demands on their time. We can improve quality. We can give staff more time so they have time to get something to drink and pee. Yeah. Between patients. Yeah. I mean, hey, these are realities that people face.
It is. Mm-hmm.
So I can, you know, I thought I want to go right to that point because the CDC and other organizations, they've never studied the effectiveness of what we do in a real time, real day, everyday situation, mm-hmm. where staff are stressed, have taxing demands on their time, and where people maybe don't do as good a job of wiping things down as they think. And the dentist just assumes that this stuff works and that, you know, everything's clean and we're all hunky-dory, but we don't have proof. So, you know, partnering with Paul and realizing that we not only do testing before and after we apply a product, now we have data that we can show at OSHA, the State Dental Board, that we can show liability carriers in the face of malpractice claims, that we can show our patients and staff definitive data that, hey, the operatory is clean to provide a safe experience for you.
I love that.
Yeah. You summarized that so well, Dwayne, but it really was just two base technologies that we just had to figure out what we could do to solve a problem. You know, Cavi wipes, Omni wipes, you know, they've been used for years. Matter mm-hmm. of fact, when I go out and I do some lecturing on this topic, a lot of times the room will be filled with the hygienists and assistants up front. And I start talking about, you know, no longer having to wipe. They love the idea, but they're very skeptical. And
yeah.
They're up in the front rows in the rooms, their arms are crossed. And they're like, oh boy, what am I going to hand a card? Am I going to be dealt here? But once I explain what a protective coating solution does, which is what we're using, it's the same concept that they're doing with a Cavi wipe, except it's long-term. So we apply this disinfectant throughout the entire clinic, not just in the operatories, but through the front of the office, through the desk area.
We call it
360-degree protection, because what happens is when we apply it, these are what are called protective coating solutions. They're copolymers. So what they do is, if you apply it onto a countertop, onto the top of a dental chair, onto your handpieces, we apply it on everything, a copolymer develops and bonds to the surface it's on. Except it's not just a copolymer and a disinfectant, it's also an electrostatically charged surface. So what happens is that positive electrostatically charged surface that now is applied into the clinical area. Over time then, bacteria, viruses, they carry with them a charge, but it's a negative charge. Mm-hmm. So if you've ever taken and had to jump your car vehicle, what happens when you take the red cable and put it on the positive and negative cable? It's always supposed to go positive, positive, negative, negative. What happens if you cross and start the car? You're going to blow it up.
Right.
And that, in essence, is what this technology does. So the biggest challenge for us was working with the companies to get them to understand the need within healthcare. But then...
Wait, hold on. I'm sorry to interrupt. That's a problem? Like, people don't understand...
It's really a problem. It's amazing you say that. And this is where, you know, we started out in the medical field first. And if you think about it in the medical field versus dental, there's one big difference between those two healthcare industries is HAI problems within the medical field, hospital-acquired infections. And why is that such a big problem? Last year alone in the United States, the hospital-type facility spent about $60 billion a year fighting HAI problems because... You put a loved one in there, they have a problem, but all of a sudden they go into a hospital for an extended period of time and they pick up three other problems
due to
things occurring in there. Now, that's not so much the case within the dental industry, but we knew that, you know, the same basic principles apply.
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem in dental, but maybe not as high on the priority list, but it's all about providing safe and clean environments for the patients that are visiting the practices and obviously the people that are working in them as well.
It's interesting. I think, you know, to kind of piggyback on that point, when we talk about, what does he say, $60 billion problem.
If
this is something that we could eradicate, would the expectation then be like, cost of healthcare goes down, you know, operating costs for hospitals go down, they're not fighting, you know, there's no litigation costs. And so the assumption would be then it's going to be better for the whole
for
humanity.
It is. And I mean, that's what I think COVID did, as I talked about, mentioned earlier. I've never seen the dental industry in such a reactive mode.
Mm-hmm.
When COVID hit, they didn't know how to react. They didn't know how to move forward. Their offices mm-hmm. have been forced to be shut down. So this was a solution to not just step back, improve the status quo, provide long-term infection control solutions, but then develop a rapid testing technology, which mm-hmm. we did as well. That, as Dwayne was mentioning earlier, imagine that we can come in there now and we can do this through various types of swab testing. We can swab test any surface for ATP, food source for bacteria. I can swab any surface or handpiece or anything in a dental clinic and instantly pick up microbial activity mm-hmm. and isolate the strain. I can also swab anywhere in a dental office, pick up any viral activity or bacteria growing within the water lines. And once we swab, we put it into a device that really looks like a glorified iPhone. We'll run an application and suddenly, as Dwayne said, if you're going to get my stamp of approval from my company on this thing, you got to have the data. It spits out all of those count levels on ATP, microbial, viral, and CFU count levels within water lines within about 30 seconds.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
So we're thinking about OSHA. You just think about the fundamentals of OSHA. The employer under the general duty clause has to provide for a safe work environment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we think we are, but now we're doing with MCS, we have proof.
Yeah. There's a lot of assumptions there.
Yeah.
Can I ask though, like, so we think that we're doing a good job in the dental space.
Sure.
Where are the areas that, as far as the testing goes, where are we missing oftentimes?
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, we didn't come up with that ourselves. When we go in there each quarter, if someone comes on board for service, we go in there and apply these protective coating solutions. We do a pre-test before we apply them so we see where the practice is at and establish mm-hmm. some baselines.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, once we're done applying it, we do a set of post-tests. There has been clinical research done in articles that are out on our webpage, they're out on our social media platforms that show where the 12 areas are in dental practice that are most susceptible to bacterial growth or infection control problems. And yeah, it's interesting. A lot of times when we go in there and do that first round of testing before we've come in and applied our protective coating solutions, believe it or not, and this is an actual number, 88% of the time we pick up bacterial growth within the operatories.
Oh my gosh.
So we should have brought it here. We always have so much fun because we have these headsets on. We're having a great conversation.
I don't think I want to know the answer to that.
I bring the device and I say, hey, let's actually test
it.
So now it's the access to data, which is so important to make decisions on. And that access to data allows doctors to understand whether it's invasive procedures, whether it's just general hygiene you're doing in a room, that room is completely clean, zero bacterial growth, ATP count levels down to where they aren't going to cause any long-term problems and absolutely no viral activity.
So let's talk about the application of this protective
coating solution.
Thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
How is that applied?
Yeah. So one of our biggest challenges is, you know, Dwayne was great in helping us put together all this OSHA compliant reporting that comes out of this device that we do the on-site testing with. But it was also how to take the technology and make it portable,
mm-hmm.
mobile, so mm-hmm. we can provide services anywhere in the country. Right now, we're just in a 4-state radius around the Texas area. But through the designs of cases and these swabs that we utilize have to be kept at certain temperatures. We have custom cases that we can actually put all our technology into. I can ship it anywhere in the country. Part of it's refrigerated to make sure that the swab tests that we're running, they're accurate. And they're going to come out with accurate readings on the backside. And by April, actually, of this year, as we just launched in March and April of last year, we'll be able to take these products, ship from anywhere in the country, send out any one of our service techs, and do the application on site. To put that kind of in perspective, the average dental facility, 3,000, 3,500 square feet, 5 to 6 operatories, pre-test, application of the protective coating solutions, post-test, We're in and out of there in about an hour 15, hour 20.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So it's not like you have to shut down the whole thing, temp the whole entire office.
A lot of times the protective coating solutions bond and dry in 12 minutes.
Oh.
So most of our time is spent testing.
Okay.
So actually we do it a lot of times over lunch hours and things.
Well, look, you know, it looks kind of cool. It's applied by something that looks like a Ghostbuster proton pack.
Everyone calls us Ghostbusters all the time when we come in there.
Yeah. So, you know, they go in wearing this like Ghostbuster gear and spray what looks like a fogger.
Mm. It goes quickly. And, you know, after we have visited the practice the first time, and I talked about that 88% of them, we pick up bacterial growth. Since we launched last year, 100% of our offices after the first 90 day of applications have had ATP count levels, food source for bacteria, at their lowest levels, and absolutely zero microbial viral activity in them. And believe it or not, when we got EPA and FDA approval on us, we had to send in test results of practices that we put this product into and provide them with the testing results to where we were using hot water only for 6 months in the clinical environment and still zero microbial viral activity after the product
was
applied.
That's fascinating.
I'm not telling hygienists to do that because, but over time, what we tell people, we can decrease your use of Cavi wipes, Omni wipes, Oxivir wipes by about 80%. And we still use them to touch the hot spots in the rooms, but no longer have to take all the time and effort to completely wipe down that room and still not know that it may be clean to the best of its abilities.
Kind of a weird tangent. So is it have any negative effect on electronics?
No. We spray right over the top of it. Right over the computer screen, mouse, keyboards, everything.
Yeah. That's cool.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
And keyboards are nasty. That cell phones.
Yeah, there's the mouse too. Boy, we go in there, and even if a lot of times if you'll see practices, they'll put their saran wrap and everything over the top of the mouse and keyboard and stuff. But even at that, with all the constant grabbing, by the end of the day, I can pick up, you know, high ATP count levels. And one kind of signs to this is you always know over time if your ATP count levels, food source for bacteria, are too high over a sustained period of time, 60, 90 days, that's going to guarantee bacterial growth, you know, over 69 period of time. So once we get the microbial and we get the viral count down levels down to zero, our next job is to eliminate the food source, keep that ATP count level at such a low level that you never have any problems with viral activity or bacterial activity moving forward.
So going forward for the practices that are using our service, it doesn't matter anymore if the dental assistant or hygienist is having a bad day, doesn't feel like doing a thorough cleaning job, or if they're stressed, it's not dependent on their stress level or their ability to clean effectively. Mm-hmm. Who cares?
Or a new grad, right? That doesn't maybe know everything. Or
that's right.
The hygienist that's been doing it for a long time is just so burnt
out. Yep.
We get a lot of it even in the new construction space. Doctors opening up a new dental office and they're 2 days before opening. You know, they just had all their equipment installed. They're doing this mass cleaning. You know, that's a great time for us to come in there and actually do this and apply this application up front and then just keep the process moving forward.
What about the floor?
The floor, you know, it's interesting. We spray all of that as well. That's why we call it 360-degree protection, because it's everywhere in that operatory. The electrostatic sprays, as you can imagine, when you apply a disinfectant and you apply it with an electrostatically charged sprayer, that spray or disinfectant, when it applies, it's like magnets. It looks for things to wrap and bond to. Mm-hmm. So how do you get the side of a cabinet? How do you get underneath the base of a chair? If I spray an electrostatic sprayer with our protective coating solutions and I point it just toward the front of the computer screen, by the time I spray the front of this computer screen, the back's already wet simultaneously.
Oh, wow.
Because that electrostatically charged sprayer is spraying it out, applying these little magnets per se, that cause that product to wrap around everything. That's the big difference between what people call fogging and actually doing it correctly with electrostatic sprayers.
Interesting. Now, are there practices or behaviors that a clinician might do that would wipe that coating away quicker or?
No, it is. That's the advantage of a copolymer. So the reason why a Cavi wipe is wiped on a surface is because it doesn't bond. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the definition of a copolymer, what it is when it's applied, it creates a new surface on top of the existing surface. Nothing you're going to be able to see.
Sure.
But that was the only way we as a team, our clinical research team that we did internally, Dwayne working with us, it's the only way that we could come up and say, how do we turn this protective coating solution, a disinfectant in essence, into a long-term solution? It had to bond on the surface, create a new surface on top of the one that's there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So visually, it's almost like a long lasting protective barrier.
It is. I mean, when we ran clinical tests on it, straight alcohol, I mean, we let anybody wipe anything on it. We actually got the clinical test to approve or at least prove that the electrostatically charged surface, that cold polymer now bonded to it, mm-hmm. would last up to about 120 days, even sometimes in some test results, 5 months. But when it came to FDA and EP approval, they only gave us to us for 90 days because that was one thing that was just consistent across the board. And that's why I can go into any office and say, you use these protective coating solutions, you allow us to do the testing, mm-hmm. we will provide you with zero bacterial level and viral activity
so
after we come in. So it's just, you know, the utilization of technology. I've been in dental, as I mentioned earlier, for 22 years. And, you know, technology, digital x-ray sensor I work, intraoral cameras, CAD-CAM systems, 3D imaging system, and it's all pushed dental forward.
Yeah.
But I could take two hygienists, and I've done this in front of rooms, where I'll bring two hygienists up in front of me, and I'll talk about the technology, and I'll say, why don't you show me and write down a piece of paper how you were trained to clean and turn over an operatory? And one hygienist could be out there practicing hygiene for 20 years, the other one could be a year out of school. And yet when I ask them to write down, show me and tell me how you were taught, they'll both say the exact same thing. So technology has progressed so many other things in dentistry forward. COVID hits. It was time to take a step back, look at the status quo and say, we got to find a way to improve this.
Yeah.
We just have to put the dentist into a proactive rather than reactive position moving forward.
You mentioned earlier that it was, you know, we could reduce the wipes down by 80-ish percent. What's the 20%? What are we still wiping down there?
20% is confidence in us. remember, I mentioned earlier.
I mean, is bioburden an issue at that point?
I have practices going in there and just using hot water.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, but imagine for me telling every industry and every dentist to do that, they look at me like crazy.
Yeah, you run out of this industry quickly.
So, I mean, we really kind of move our way into it. When we come in and provide a service 4 times a year with all the testing, we go in there and say, don't change anything the first 90 days.
Yeah.
Let's bring the product in.
Keep using your wipes.
Exactly right. And let, as Dwayne said, let the data prove where you're at. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we get to the second application. And now they begin to build some trust in that data. We get by the 6-month marker and I'm like, okay, you get it now?
Yeah.
You believe me. I've got FDA approval, got the compliancy, we got the reports. And then we begin to say, now let's do what we were supposed to do, because the average cost of our program is about what they spend on their Cavi wipes every year.
Nice.
Yeah. So we just say the goal was to not have you spend more. It's just to do it better.
Mm-hmm.
Cost effective, comprehensive, and conclusive in its results. And that's when we get them to start scaling back off of their wipes.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. Technology, you got to love it.
Yeah, you really do. I'm absolutely fascinated. I'm sure our listeners are going to be fascinated. So right now you're in the 4 states, you said?
Yeah.
But expanding soon?
Yeah, we are. We'll be able to go nationwide. Our goal is to make it mobile. That was one of the biggest challenges we've been working on the last 6 months. We should be able to provide service anywhere in the country sometime in Q2.
I love that.
Yeah.
If it, maybe someone that is a decision maker is listening to this podcast, where would you have them go look for more information?
If they really want to see good content out there, obviously they can go to our webpage, but I always drive them to our social media handle, MCS Infection Controls. We launch content, information from doctors that are using the products and services 3 to 4 times a week out there. Mm-hmm. And when we launch that content, it goes out to LinkedIn, it goes out to Instagram, it goes out to Facebook all simultaneously. So I would say go to type in on any social media platform that I just mentioned, MCS Infection Control Solutions, and they'll get all kinds of content and data about what we're doing out there.
I love that. Any last questions or any last thoughts, Tink? Anything from you? They wanted to see your course? Where's the website?
I'll say one thing about Dwayne.
Yeah.
The most rewarding thing, it's like having in-house counsel. Yeah, we're going on this new technology and I can go and talk to a crowd. I can get them excited and wound up and they still don't always move forward. Tink comes up and says, put my stamp of approval on it. I'm the compliancy guy. We're all good and we move forward.
Yeah.
Onward and upward.
Yeah. Some people hire bodyguards. Paul, he hires a nerd. Goodness. Hey, if you guys have questions about compliance and risk management stuff, come on over to Talking with the Tooth Cop and check it out. Otherwise, you can find me through my website, dentalcompliance.com. Do your best. Always be learning and don't be a nasty little violator.
I love it. All right. Thank you both for doing this.
Yeah. Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, this is a tale. A tale of two hygienists. So there might be only one.
bringing the best of dental knowledge, and we do it all with ease. We cover oral health and screening and preventing gum disease. We're gonna do a lot of learning and have a little bit of fun working at the dentist. A tale of two hygienists.